The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of woman, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The gospel of the Lord. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might, come among us. Amen. So the question that arises today in the Gospel of Matthew is, who is John the Baptist? Well, in fact, the real question is, John the Baptist and his followers are trying to figure out exactly who the Messiah is, although we think John knows. But who was John the Baptist? Well, first and foremost, let's just deal with translation here. John the Baptist is not a very good translation of his name because, one, he's not a Baptist. The Baptists were not founded until 1612. He predated them by a couple of years. Probably a better translation is John the Baptizer. But a title or a name given to him by the Eastern Church is the one that I think really fits nicely. It's John the Forerunner. Not like the Toyota truck, but the guy who goes ahead. The one who leads the way. The one who prepares the road. So who was John the Baptist? Well, John the Baptist was the older second cousin of Jesus. You may remember the story, hopefully you do. Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, an obvious confidant, kind of like a older sister figure it feels like, is very late in life. She has not been able to get pregnant, and God comes to Zechariah in a dream. Elizabeth's husband tells him that they're going to have a baby, or that Elizabeth's going to have a baby. And Zechariah goes and tells Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is like, "Yeah, right." But they do. And that baby is John the Baptist. And in fact, one of the greatest little snippets, little plays that plays itself out in the gospel is there is a moment when Mary has found out she's pregnant. And the cultural norms of the time make this a very, very dangerous thing for her because she was unwed. In fact, we kind of joke that, Joseph was the gentleman by just saying, "Well, I'll just kind of push her off to the side, because culturally he had the right to stone her. So another story for another day, but we know that's not what happened. But you have to understand how dangerous the situation is that Mary finds herself in. And the very first person she goes to tell is Elizabeth, which says volumes both about their relationship and who Elizabeth was. And at the moment that Mary walks up, newly pregnant with Jesus, the baby inside of Elizabeth's womb leaps. That's what the Bible says. It leaps. That baby, again, was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus, the one out front proclaiming his greatness even in utero. That's impressive, even by West Hartford school standards. So who was John the Baptist? Well, they believe John the Baptist was an Essene. An Essene was a sect of Judaism that lived out in the desert, best known for what they believe to be the creators and the hiders of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Everybody remember the Dead Sea Scrolls? Remember when it was a really big deal? They're still around. You can go see them. Smithsonian's got some. Library of Congress has some. There are a few other places. So one of the Essenes kind of theological themes was this idea of the coming of the kingdom of God, the incarnation, the messianic movement that would bring God to earth and that would change the way the world was. It would change the way the world is. So who was John the Baptist? John the Baptist is one of the greatest of all prophets. Considered to be one of the greatest of prophets, not only in Christianity, but also in Islam and amongst the Baha'i faith. So John the Baptist was the guy out there telling us that we need to prepare ourselves to receive the coming of the incarnate God. John the Baptist was the guy saying, you need to get all the garbage out of the way. Clear the path to your heart and to your mind and to your imagination that will allow you to receive God into your life. John the Baptist was the guy who said, we need to repent. Not in that kind of, you know, self-flagellation, oh, I'm evil kind of way, but more to turn back to God, to recognize that we have gone astray, that we have filled our lives, quite frankly, with garbage. Garbage of our own making. Hate, racism, otherness, misogyny. You can name the list. Greed. Self-obsession. John the Baptist is the one who says, you need to push that stuff aside. It's getting in the way of becoming who you were created to be. It's getting in the way of the kingdom of God being made new within your very life. But one of the most interesting things about John the Baptist was, no, not his clothing, not his diet. First of all, those weren't that rare for the time, especially amongst people who lived in the wilderness. Although he really didn't live in the wilderness. Think about it for a minute. You know, they go out looking for him, but they walk from home. So he's really out in the suburbs crying, make way for the coming of God. One of the most interesting things about John is what I see in the expression when Jesus comes to be baptized. And he says, here comes the one that I am not even worthy to untie the thong of, or to tie the thong of his sandal. John sees himself as unworthy. Yet he's been called by God. He grew up with Jesus. He's a faithful person unto his own life and seems to be a voice that people want to hear. Yet he still understands himself as imperfect. He still understands himself as a broken person, which makes him, in some ways, perfect for the job. Who better to listen to than someone who has experienced life the way that we have, in all its brokenness, and in its unworthiness? John was called, even in those moments of imperfection, and in some ways, I believe, because of that imperfection. So who was John the Baptist? He's an example set before us as one who takes his life as it is and turns it into a gift of God's grace, turns his voice into more than a reed shaken by the breeze, as one who changes the lives of those who encounter him. And this is where we come into the story, because it's a voice still desperately that we need to hear. And it's a voice that we can emulate. We too are broken. Yet it is in that imperfection that God calls us. It is in that imperfection that God provides God's grace. It is in that imperfection that we are deeply and dearly loved by our Creator. We have a story to tell about how life can be better, about how we can be better by opening ourselves up to the kingdom of God, by sweeping away all the garbage that infects our minds and our hearts and, quite frankly, our calendars. Not all of it needs to be dumped, but it just needs to be reprioritized. Set maybe in some priority that makes sense, that doesn't get in the way of us seeing God in our very midst. It is in our imperfection that we are called. I was at a Christmas party. I've been at a couple Christmas parties lately, actually, and I've probably gained 10 pounds in the last week. But it's all the snack food. It's just so good. But another story. And I was talking with some parents of high school age kids. First of all, I never understand people who say things like, "Oh, I just wish my kids were little again." Oh, God, no. I have fully embraced being an empty nester, right? It's awesome, right? Totally underrated. But these conversations with these people always remind me about how hard it is to be a teenager. I was listening to one mother talk about her daughter complaining about a friend, saying how she was complaining and complaining the other day, and she was panicked because her GPA was a 4.1. Seriously? For some reason, we have set up perfection as the goal. We have set up perfection as the goal. That makes no sense. It just darkens our lives because we'll never be happy. It gets in the way of seeing the light of God in the midst of the darkness and in the light. So who was John the Baptist? John the Baptist was the one who set before us an example. It says, in our brokenness, in our unworthiness, in our imperfections, we are loved by God. And we are called to take that message out. And we have one thing that John did not have. John was the consummate outsider. He looked funny, he probably smelt funny, you know, he yelled and screamed and railed and railed. I mean, that's the story, right? He lived in a cave somewhere. But yet, people went out to hear him. Many of us are the consummate insider. We have access. We have access to people who, they don't know they want to hear the story, but they really do. Because everybody wants to hear how they're loved. Everyone wants to hear how it can be better. We have access, whether we are in school, whether we are in the office, whether we are in a community of people who are retired, or wherever you find yourself on a Monday morning. We have access. We have people to hear the story, to see the story played out. So John reminds us of two things today. One, we are called to a place of repentance. We are called to a place of preparation. We are called to a place of sweeping away the nonsense. But almost more importantly, or I think more importantly, that no matter where we find ourselves, no matter how broken we find ourselves, no matter how unworthy we deem ourselves, no matter how unworthy the world has deemed us, we are deeply loved by God. And that's one hell of a story to tell. Amen.